Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, we're live in Manhattan, New York, in the Cumulus office building. We got the Statue of Liberty just outside here in Ellis Island, and it's gorgeous. Plus, radio is all around us. Andrea Cummins, president of SBE, joins us, and Jeff Schick is here, too. It's coming up next on TWRTS.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio, audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to the light bulb on the top of the Empire State Building. Hi, I'm Kirk Harnack, and we are in New York City. Chris Tarr is with us. He can only be with us for a couple of minutes. So, Chris, come on in and say howdy. Howdy, Chris. Is he there? There he is.
Yeah, here I is. I'm driving back. If you remember last week, I checked in for doing an antenna install for a translator in Madison. Today, I actually finished the project and I got it on the air. So that's where I'm driving home from now. I'm driving home from Madison to my secret lair in Maguanago after getting everything on the air and running. So it was actually a very productive day for me.
Well, good. Are you still in the signal coverage area of the translator you got on the air? Nope.
Maybe. I'm about an hour away, so.
Okay.
But I know it's on the air, that.
Well, thanks for the report. Drive carefully, please, and maybe in the next week or two, you can give us a full report with pictures and sound.
Sure, well,
and
I should be in the office on next Thursday, so we can go a little bit more into detail.
Well, good deal. All right, please drive safely, Chris. Love you, mean it.
All right, see you guys later.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Chris Tarr coming home from a translator install. I'm Kirk Harnack in New York City, and look who our guest is, Andrea Cummins. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, great to be here.
It's good to see you.
Nice to see you. Been forever.
We're going to, as we do at the beginning of every show, we're going to say a quick word about Nautel. And this year, as they've done at every NAB that's happened, they're doing the Nautel Users Group, the NUG, on Sunday morning. And all you need to do is go sign up for it. I think they're going to feed you some food there, too. Just go to nautel.com/NAB and sign up for the NUG at NAB. It's the Radio Technology Forum. Yours truly, I get to speak there for a few minutes early in the morning. So if you want to come in after I'm speaking, that's fine. But if you want to learn about a little bit of new technology, I'd be glad to tell you about it on Sunday morning. It goes on from 8:30 until noon at the Flamingo, Las Vegas, Sunday, April the 16th. That's the first day of the NAB. So all you got to do, go to nautel.com/NAB and click the registration open, register now link there, and you can sign up. And they will be expecting you, and they'll have an extra plate of food for you, and it'll be just wonderful on Sunday morning at NAB. Also, after NAB is over, they're going to have a post-NAB 3-day training course. It's April 24th through 26th. Full details and registration are available right there on the same page. So when you go to nautel.com/NAB, click on that full details and registration here for April 24th through 26th. And find out about their 3-day training course post NAB. And I think that's not in Las Vegas. You can probably do that online with the folks at Nautel. So thanks a lot, Nautel, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. For the most amazing transmitters, check out Nautel at nautel.com. I was just talking to an engineer here in this room a few minutes ago who put a couple of new Nautel transmitters in the Empire State Building. And I'm telling you, that ain't easy to get transmitters up there. So we're glad you join us. We got a couple of guests during the show today, but Andrea Cummins is our first guest. She's going to be here to talk to us for a few minutes. And Andrea, again, nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for asking me.
So this is your stomping ground here in New York City?
More or less. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, yeah. New York City. Go to all of them.
So you are the elected president of the SBE, right?
Right, until October. Got a little more time.
Oh, who's now, are you going to be able to run again for that?
No, you can only do two terms.
Oh, you've been two terms.
And this is the second term.
My goodness, time flies.
I know. It's been really fast.
So as SBE president, what have been a couple of things that you have wanted to get accomplished? Because you walked into, to me, an SBE that was already operating pretty well. What have you wanted to add to that?
The main thing we've been working on right now, actually, is Jim Ragsdale, our executive director, put out a survey for us to send to all the members and just ask a whole lot of questions mm-hmm. and see what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we could do better, what do people need from us. And we had hundreds of people responded, which mm-hmm. was great. And I think about 130 of them were willing to do Zoom calls in small groups with me and Jim. And we're just getting that set up for the next couple of weeks. So we'll be able to talk about it at NAB with the whole board. And we'll see what comes from that.
Interesting to see how much of these results result in fine tuning and how much of it may result in whole new programs or any overhauls or, you know, we've been doing that for 30 years and nobody's interested. Let's just drop that.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to be able to do strategic planning in a whole different way because you've been in some of the ones we've had before where it was just 30 people in a room and we talked for a day.
Yeah.
And we've gotten some really good programs from that and mm-hmm. ideas, and we've actually done most of them. But I wanted to open it up to all the members and see if people had other ideas than we were getting just from 30 people.
You know, as a longtime SBE member myself, one of the things that I think was a really smart thing that we did a few years ago was this Member Plus thing. How are you feeling about, or how's everybody else feeling about Member Plus?
It's been incredibly successful, actually. People really like it.
If you don't know, being an SBE member, you pay a fee for a membership for a year. But if you, with Member Plus, you pay a higher fee, but you don't have to pay anything extra for webinars throughout the year. And so you don't have to, some people say, don't have to go back to the well. Hey, general manager, I know this wasn't in the budget, but can I have $75, $80, whatever, to attend this important webinar? Or here's a series of webinars that's going to cost a total of X amount. So Member Plus includes that.
Yeah, you get the whole package, everything that we do for the year you get. So it's been really good.
And then there's another program. I know that Gary Morrill was part of this, and that's this you know professional program where you PTP.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What you know.
I wish I could. I don't know a lot about it, but I know that it's doing very well.
It's kind of for people who are brand new members, maybe college or out of college, or people starting a career in broadcasting, and they want to have how much is it going to cost me to learn about the current and existing technologies I need to know. And I want to go ahead and get certified in something. And so the PTP, the TPT, includes your exam fee.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to start bringing in subject matter experts to help with them, in addition to the mentoring that you're getting in that program.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's coming along. It's doing.
You know, we interviewed a fellow, I did an SBE meeting in Tampa, Florida, a year and a half ago. Anyway, Isaiah Chavez was the guy I talked to. And Isaiah mentioned that they have gotten a lot of participation. And this is an individual chapter decision. If your chapter doesn't do this, no harm, no foul. But people may want to think about, hey, what if we paid for membership, we the chapter, paid for a membership for a college student or somebody young and bringing in them in the business. And we maybe we even paid for their first test, their certification test fee.
That'd be fantastic. You know, here in New York City chapter, if you pass your certification, we pay you back.
That's a good incentive right there. So, you're not just getting the money and doesn't matter if I pass or not. Yeah.
Of course, what's amazing is somehow we have very few certified people. Even though we always tell them, take it, we'll pay you back. So, but everybody's so busy, I think, even though we're now the biggest chapter here.
Well, later in our show, Jeff Schick is going to join us. He's going to talk a bit about this program. Really, there's a lot of cooperation with Hofstra University and Andy Gladding. I saw Andy in person this morning over at the Salem radio stations. And Andy is really high on this program. He says they've got a good deal of interest and participation from students at Hofstra.
Yeah, we have about 40 members from Hofstra. It's terrific. And they come to a lot of our events. They've been very involved. And I actually did one of my president's articles about Andy and that program. And my next article, I actually let one of his students take over my column, and she wrote the article.
So cool. I'll
see that in another month, I guess.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break here, but I want to, when we come back, anything else SBE related you want to talk about, great, no problem. But I'm also interested in what you do in television and how I might be able to relate any of that to radio, especially in terms of planning, facility planning, you know, what sorts of things go on a checklist that you think about when you're planning some systems, integrations, and things like that. Things that are just obvious to you, like the forest, you know, and the trees, but I want to know what you think about that. To me, television is so much more complicated than building a radio station, even though building a radio station stretches my abilities pretty well. So we're going to come back with that. We're here with Andrea Cummis on This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack. We're actually at the Cumulus office facility in Manhattan, in southern the very southern end of Manhattan. The Statue of Liberty is just outside. Ellis Island is just across the river there, and it's absolutely gorgeous here. We're getting ready to have an SBE meeting here, which we'll tell you about in a few minutes. Our show is brought to you in part by Broadcast Bionics. Let's check them out with the Bionic Studio. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Bionic Studio. The Bionic Studio brings all audience interaction to the fingertips of a production team in radio, TV, and podcast. Our workflow-led system is working 24/7 around the world for small broadcasters and national and international networks. Our telephony module, Bionic Talk Show, allows cost-effective centralization, remote operation, scalability, and resilience across an entire network of stations, but at the same time is used in single-studio self-op environments. Social media curation and activity is now considered a broadcast critical part of programming. Bionic Social means the studio isn't overwhelmed with a wall of interaction from an ever-growing number of social platforms. We combine SMS, MMS, and email together with a speech-to-text service for listeners using smart speakers. We enable studio teams to curate, filter, and display all platforms in one place, and post text, images, and video content to multiple platforms in one operation. Effortless collection of video content with Bionic Director has helped position some of the world's most successful stations as leaders in viral content, generating appointments to listen and free marketing via retweets and shares. Bionic Contest enables end-to-end tracking of on-air competitions, live reads, and prizes. These could be on-air contests, automated SMS entry, or online. Anywhere and Skype TX for Radio brings high quality audio and video contribution into the studio with ease. No need for dedicated PCs to run different applications. Everything is controlled within the Bionic Studio UI, and incoming connections are visible to users along with all other platforms. Our codec integration enables connection, algorithm configuration, and directory to a wide range of IP and ISDN codecs. The Bionic Studio, a unique suite of products designed to enable your talent to work smarter.
Thanks so much to Broadcast Bionics and the Bionic Studio. Learn more at bionics.co.uk. You can, of course, email them, sales@bionics.co.uk. They also have another website. You can get there with bionic.radio. Okay, we have probably too many websites and too many URLs, but I love the folks at Broadcast Bionics. In fact, Dan McQuillan is going to be our guest on an upcoming This Week in Radio Tech. Dan has developed some amazing technology that makes implementing containerized broadcast software easy. And I mean, it's I hate using the word plug and play. Everybody uses that, but it certainly makes things pretty easy. So we're looking forward to hearing from Dan, probably just after the NAB show now, and give Dan a chance to ring it out some more at the upcoming NAB show. So it's This Week in Radio Tech, episode 636. Howdy, I'm Kirk Harnack, and I am in New York City at the Cumulus office facility here. It is absolutely gorgeous. We are at almost at the end of Manhattan Island, and look out the window here. I see the tugboats and the I'm sorry, what do you call them? The boats that are moving people around. What do they call them?
Ferry boats.
Oh, ferry boats, of course. Can you put your car on a ferry boat? They have some of those?
I don't know. Huh? I have never done that here. I've done that other places.
Wow. And some beautiful bridges. And look, I'm looking out a window here, and there's the Statue of Liberty right out there. Oh, and walking in the building, mm-hmm. I saw this old-looking structure on the north side of the building. And I thought, why is that? It looks very historic. Why is that there? And I asked a gentleman while I was coming in the building, what is that? He says, that is the Irish Potato Famine Memorial. And I thought, oh my God. And I just, oh, this wave of, I don't know, sadness and feeling came over me for, you know, for that itself. And what a beautiful memorial that it is. So we're with Andrea Cummins here. She's the president of the Society of Broadcast Engineers. And Andrea, let's talk a bit about system integration. This is what you do, your company does. Do this with your husband. And, you know, I'm pretty familiar with radio station integration. Talk to me about television integration in whatever terms you want to, but I'm interested in, you know, how I can apply that into what I do.
Sure. It's probably just like that, only lots more visual questions. But I always just start with the customer and try to find out what they want, what they're trying to accomplish. If they have specific equipment they already know they want, or you know they don't know anything at all, and then you have to guide them. Hopefully they give you some kind of budget range so you're not way out of their range when you come back with your list.
I'm sure that no two projects are alike. But if you could generalize, what are TV stations looking to do these days? What are some of your more recent projects involving what kind of upgrades?
We're doing more like corporate TV studios.
Oh.
So I would say they're similar, mm-hmm. you know, depending on just how big or small or how much money they have to spend. But a lot of the small ones, they're looking for three cameras. They're usually looking at a TriCaster because they have people who know how to run that.
Yeah.
They want to be streaming. They want to be recording everything. They're probably going to also edit. And then do they want an anchor desk? Or are they going to stand up? Do they need a green screen? You know, they just have to ask all the questions. How many microphones? How many people are they? This kind of mic? Or is it a lavalier mic? Or, you know, exactly what kind of shoots are they going to do? And a lot of times they don't know. And that's when it gets so much harder because then you're just guessing.
Okay. Questions are filling my head here. Let me ask you this. Today, I got to visit a news network here in town. It's with Newsmax. And what I kind of, you know, I don't know all about television technology, but I kind of noticed looking around the racks, the studios, the control rooms, the ingest room. The ingest room was pretty impressive because they're bringing in feeds from all over. I noticed kind of a lack of what I would term more legacy gear. Now, they did have a few patch bays for audio and for video, but for the most part, a great deal of their equipment was actually servers with corporate names on them. I don't know if Miranda or LiveView or other things. So talk to me about today's equipment and how it's different than how things have been.
Well, virtually everything's a computer now, and it almost all runs on software. Some of the time you're even just buying the software, installing it on your own computer.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's harder to support. You know, is the software company going to log into your computer and just support their software? Exactly how far are they going to go? So support becomes a big issue. Things like TriCasters and vMix, mm-hmm. Livestream, and all the different smaller streaming switchers. They're all just computers.
Right? Yeah.
So you can get the software and build it yourself. You can get somebody to build you an appliance. They're even like we're using at the TV station I work at, WLVT in Bethlehem, we have a 4A switcher we put in a couple of years ago and a character generator that came with that, Class X. And yeah, everything's pretty much a computer. It all just talks together, hopefully.
Now, again, I'm not so much in the world of television, but what about a classic name like Grass Valley? When I started in some college television, it was a Grass Valley switcher. So has Grass Valley moved into the computer world to support what you're doing with a big panel?
I don't have a lot of Grass Valley stuff. Okay. I used to, but yeah, as far as I know, that everything just becomes more an appliance, but it's still a computer inside, and it's still running a software program, although it's all their stuff.
So when you, what are some typical input-output protocols? Like, let's imagine that I subscribe to that LiveView service, right? And so in my TV station, my control room, my ingest room, I've got probably one or more server computers that have the big LiveView logo on them. What kind of, now obviously what's coming in from the outside world is coming over the internet or maybe a private connection. How's that going to connect to the rest of the TV equipment? Is there IP or is it SDI, some kind of thing?
Could be either one, right? It could have a decoder built in, mm-hmm. in which case it might go into your SDI router. It could become NDI, could be 2110. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of IP formats now.
You know, it seems like for so many years, people were using SDI, right? And that's typically connected with a BNC, with a cable and a BNC. Like analog video. I mean, mm-hmm. kind of like the same connector style. But as these other IP-based protocols have come about, and I'm thinking, you know, 2110, SD2110, SMPTE2110, mm-hmm. and then there's NDI. I don't know. It seems to me that transition to those has been a little, I guess, slower than I would have expected. This is complex stuff, isn't it, to get it 100% right?
Yeah, NDI is pretty nice, but you can overwhelm your network really fast because video can be very big.
Yeah.
So like we put in, I think they're up to 16 or more cameras at Central Synagogue here in the city. Uh-huh. And as we were adding more cameras, they started having all these strange intermittent problems where they would just randomly lose control of a camera.
Oh.
And it turned out it was just overwhelming. The amount of NDI from all the cameras was overwhelming their switch. And so we had to split it into two different networks.
What kind of bit rate is NDI typically operating at for video? Any idea?
I do not. I know you can have like 10 HD cameras on one stream, though.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, more than 10, you start getting into big, big problems.
So the switches that are used may certainly unfamiliar to broadcast engineers, but maybe even size-wise unfamiliar to IT people.
Right. Well, you need to get into managed switches, and then you need a lot more IT knowledge. And yeah, that's where, like, for me, my small customers, unless they have video guys who are also IT guys or mm-hmm. IT guys that can help, I generally steer them away from NDI because when it's working, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when it doesn't work, you know, they could call me up and I wouldn't even know how to tell them to troubleshoot.
Now, relating this back to this show, This Week in Radio Tech, you know, the company I work for, Telos Alliance, we've been asked by a number of companies to add NDI input and output capability on our audio consoles. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, we don't make video switchers, we make audio consoles. So I take it that you can bring in NDI and just grab the audio, mix it as needed, and then put it back out in an NDI format so it's usable by the next thing down the line.
Yeah, and similar to Dante, right?
Same, oh, okay.
Same kind of idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, 2110 is probably the next big thing. We'll see how that comes along.
Wow. So I there's some facilities that seems like a few years ago decided we're going to build everything SD2110, all video over IP. And, you know, they found out, well, not all the manufacturers, they said they were ready, but they really weren't ready to. Okay, they talked to themselves, but you want to talk to somebody else? You got to. There may be a little protocol issue here or there.
Right, and it's the monitoring equipment there. You know, how are you going to check it? I worked on the Columbus project years ago at ABC, which was all video over IP for master control, but you still had to break it back to baseband to see it and hear it.
Sure.
So it was supposed to be like a money-saving project, but it really ended up being just as expensive and a whole lot more complicated.
You know, I'm such a big fan myself of audio over IP, and I'm part owner of a bunch of radio stations, and I do 80% of my engineering remotely from my desk in Nashville, Tennessee, and I can remote into my stations and accomplish an amazing amount of stuff. And in fact, one of them was we moved the control of one of our stations from one city in Mississippi to another city. And then we thought, well, we want to, you know, the automation's in that city, and we feed another transmitter, we feed this other. Anyway, my business partner said, we need an STL over IP. Does that make, can you do that? And I said, well, yeah. And, you know, now that we've got fiber internet at these, even though they're small podunk Mississippi towns, even though we've got fiber at both locations, so the reliability's been awfully good. And so I just took existing stuff we already had, a a streaming computer, and I made a high-quality private stream. I found a piece of software that reliably decodes so far for weeks at a time without the little piece of software needing to be redone. Decode it, send it out live wire audio over IP, send that to an audio processor, an Omni audio processor, pick it up, and bam, we're on the air. And it's been, and I did all, every bit of that I did remotely. Now, somebody had to plug the new audio processor into the Axia network switch. Okay, so my dream and reality of being able to do engineering remotely for my radio stations, does this translate into the TV world when you're all IP? Can you do a lot of things remotely?
Yeah, and COVID sort of forced a lot of places to start doing that if they weren't already. So for us in Pennsylvania, we can do most of our traffic stuff remotely. You can log into the router and change inputs and outputs. And we have we brought in a TriCaster TC2 during COVID, and you can run that all remotely.
Oh, okay.
And of course, we can bring in guests over Teams or Zoom or WebEx, anything you like in there. So that's been great. So we've been doing some of the production and some of the master control remotely.
When you're using tools like these that are, I guess, in many ways getting less expensive, more affordable, you said you're doing a lot of corporate studios, and budgets there aren't the old TV station budgets. I mean, they're still in the multi thousands of dollars, but they're not approaching $1 million, I would imagine, for most of them. Here's my question. Can you, if you know what you're doing, can you produce video programming with lower thirds and bugs and double boxes and all? Can you do that about as well with today's tools that cost less, that are, I'm not going to say consumerish, but they're affordable for people? Can you really get as the quality that we think that the industry should be up to?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. TriCasters, vMix. Yeah. There's lots of great tools. You just have to know how to run them. So it's really down to the operator at that point.
Yeah.
To usually you'd need to set that all up in advance so you know what it looks like and you know how to get from one thing to another thing. But yeah, with a good operator, you can do almost anything.
Wow. On this show, Suncast, our producer, uses vMix. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're dialed into this show. Hey, it's This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack here in New York City at the Cumulus office facility on the beautiful southern end of Manhattan Island. We're looking out at the Statue of Liberty here. I'm with Andrea Cummis. She's the president of the Society of Broadcast Engineers, the elected president, twice elected. And, you become the immediate past president, right?
Exactly. That's what Wayne is right now. And then hopefully Ted, my vice president, will become president, and I'll be the immediate past president.
And you still get all the benefits, though, like, first class plane tickets to NAB.
I wish.
Hey, Andrea's been with us. We're going to wrap up with Andrea. Jeff Schick is going to be along soon to talk to us about this SBE chapter here in New York City, about what they've been doing to try to grow their ranks here. Andrea, I want to thank you very much for being with us, spending a good half hour with us. Good to see you too. I'll see you in Las Vegas.
Right? Absolutely.
All right. It's This Week in Radio Tech, and I think we're going to, we still have we don't have a convenient way to transition out of this because it's not recorded. Andrea, thanks very much. You slide out. Hey, I want to talk to you about one of our sponsors, two of our sponsors, actually. One of those is Angry Audio. Angry Audio, you go to angryaudio.com. The guy that runs Angry Audio is Mike Dosh, and I'm delighted to say that Mike's a personal friend of mine, known Mike for a long time. In fact, I met Mike about 22 years ago at an NAB show in the year 2000, and it was a great meeting with Mike and also Marty Sachs from Telos, and that was the meeting that I ended up getting hired with Telos. So Mike's been a friend of mine for a long time. Well, Mike runs this company now, Angry Audio. And he makes an amazing range of equipment that you'll want for your radio station build out. He also got a really good business opportunity to purchase the Studio Hub line from Radio Systems as Radio Systems wound down their business. So if Suncast might have a chance to bring it up here, I don't have any show and tell with me today here on my traveling trip, but Suncast might want to bring up angryaudio.com. They have an amazing array of products, and I've shown you the headphone amps, the one that you won't snag your pantyhose on, the whole Studio Hub. The headphone disconnector is what pops up right here, and
Angry Audio's slogan is problems disappear when you get angry. Studio signaling lights, the signal light gadget, the mic drop gizmo, the audio processors, the Chameleon line of audio processors designed by Cornelius Gould. You know, for a long time, we talked about the Bluetooth gadget that really helped stations and home producers during COVID. Lately, we've been telling you about this USB audio gizmo, and I love this box. This is an analog audio interface that connects, you know, analog audio to your USB on your computer. What's cool about it? Mike Dosh designed this thing really right. The grounds are properly separated such that you just don't get any hum, buzz, or crackle when you hook up analog devices into your computer. And I tell you, for lots of other USB audio interfaces, that's a problem. He also makes the fail-safe gadget switch to a backup if your program goes silent. It's automatic, and it's smart, too. You can really program this thing. Of course, the whole Studio Hub line is there as well. And lately, Mike has showed me this new button gizmo. That's pretty cool. Mike Tally gizmo, the Mike Tally gadget. Lots of things that just make your studio slicker and run better. The balancing gadget, too. If you need to, you know, balance from an unbalanced device like a CD player, a DVD player, or even an old cassette deck into your balanced audio infrastructure, this will do it for you. And it's so well designed. So angryaudio.com is a great place to go to check out items that will make your studio much better. Let's go to the website, angryaudio.com. I was just talking to an engineer this morning about some of Angry Audio's products right here in New York City. They're using some of their products at the Salem radio stations and love them. So Chris Tarr will be back next week to tell you more, but I'm telling you right now, angryaudio.com is well worth it. Go to your favorite dealer and tell them what you want to do. Tell them you want Angry Audio and pick out the things that you need for your studio. They're going to make your life easier. All right. Thanks to Angry Audio for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. Another big thanks goes to Max Connect Wireless. Max Connect, that's Josh Bone and his company. And oh my goodness, they have done the most huge favor for us as broadcasters, and that is arranging with the different cell carriers to get on their network that gives you prioritized packet data from LTE networks. Now, the only people that have a higher priority than you when you're on Max Connect would be first responders, as they should. But you get to a football stadium, a soccer game, a baseball game, a parade, any place where there's a lot of people gathered and they're all using their cell phones to update their Facebook, and your speed drops dramatically. Well, Max Connect takes care of that for you because you get prioritized data. You get priority out of all those schmucks in the stadium who are updating their Facebook page or, you know, calling their Aunt Millie on WhatsApp or FaceTime. You get priority. And so plenty of broadcasters now are using Max Connect Wireless from remote broadcasting venues like parades and ball games and basketball stadium, all that kind of thing. And they're even using it from their transmitter site. You know, one of the big users is John Takak, and often we hear from John and his testimonial about the fixed IP address and how using that has enabled them to close a lot of open ports that they did have to open up for things to call in to home. But now they can allow just a single IP address into a port, for example. And that's really helped increase their security at his operation. Max Connect Wireless, check them out at maxconnect.com. I know it's spelled funny, so you got to put an extra X in there and spell connect with a K. Max Connect, and you can check them all out there. I've been using it for several years now since I got to know this from Josh Bone. And we're going to be using Max Connect actually from the NAB show. We're doing a live This Week in Radio Tech from NAB, and we'll be using Max Connect for that. So check them out. Thanks a lot, Max Connect Wireless, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Oh, Jeff, come on over. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. I was so busy talking about our sponsors. Jeff Schick is coming over to fill this empty chair. Howdy. Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
You too.
Jeff, you're representing not only Sprite Media, a company that you're part of. Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, man. You know what? My contract says I have to be taller than my guest, so hang on. There we go. Oh man! Oh look, we're both at the top. Maybe we both have to shrink. So see if you can pop down just a hair there, because the camera's too far away. You look great.
Thank you. As you always do.
All right. So Jeff, got a couple things to talk about. Let's talk about SBE first.
Sure thing. Yeah. So SBE 15, New York City, the largest chapter in the universe. and growing by the minute. We have young people, we have old people, we have everything in between. And if you look at our website, SBE15.com, on the front, you'll see our barbecue, which represents a very new look for the SBE chapters. I do presentations for Sprite Media for some of the chapters, and I see mostly people who look like me. People have been in the business for a long time, and how do you get the younger people interested and wanting to be active in the chapters? And you have to appeal to them. And you just mentioned before, one big thing we have going for us right now is a collaboration with Hofstra University on Hempstead, Long Island. They have a killer communication program and a radio station, WRHU, which won, was it three Marconi Awards in a row? No, four. They're going to kill me if I don't get this right. And it rivals quite a few professional stations. And I've been at a few hundred professional stations. I'll be at one, I'll be at, what, seven next week? So that keeps me busy, but we have 40 new members every year, and the collaboration includes taking the SBE exam as part of their program. So the college is paying for their first year of membership to get them on board, but we're also gearing presentations that we would they would find interesting. So we've had plenty of SBE meetings where it's really heady. The ATSC 3 had a lot of math going on with it. Yeah. And we did one a month ago over at Hofstra University Studio A. I think that's the biggest TV station on Long Island, a TV facility. And we did it on lighting. And it was Lightstream Design. And we had the students come up and we set up lights. And going to one light, doing a Zoom call or doing a YouTube video to TV productions. And Bob Cully, who spoke, showed the history of from the Honeymooners, which the kids kind of glazed over with that, to All in the Family, to Seinfeld, and how lighting has changed. And the big thing we can see, there's a light in front of us right here that people at home can't see, but it's LED.
Yeah, I call it a TikTok ring light, right? Because and it costs all of, I don't know, $21.
Right. You don't really need to spend a lot of money. And what radio has not embraced, some have and some haven't, the bigger markets have, is that there's a video element to radio now. You have a big time guest on it, you want that on YouTube. I also do some work for WBGO over in Newark, New Jersey, and there's constantly performances there and artists there. Anyone who's anyone in jazz goes there.
Yeah.
And they have a video of the week on their webpage, and we're at the point where that we're integrating radio and video and IT websites. And we're also at the point where streaming is getting numbers. I just saw the New York City ratings, and there's a few stations are moving up there. And for a station like WBGO, who has listeners in Paris and Amsterdam, all over the world, because they have a product that's worth listening to, they're going to eventually have more people streaming than listening off the air. So let's talk about the chapters here. So we have the young folks coming in, the one thing that bothered me when I was just a little old member in SBE, now I think 30 years I've been a member, was the communication that maybe a week before there would be a notice about a meeting and you had to keep checking and checking. And there was a website there. And then a few years back, I was asked to upgrade the website. And if anyone knows Sprite Media and what we do is we do websites, we do video displays, custom video displays, because people don't know what to put on their displays. So, you know, I was able to put a little more effort into that maybe an average hobbyist might do. But I would recommend using something like WordPress. Or, you know, if you really want to go even simpler, something like Squarespace. But Squarespace is going to set you back about $200 a year for a chapter. For a WordPress site, and through the service that I use, and I can set folks up with the service, it's $50 a year for the internet service and $20 for the domain. So we're looking at about $70 a year to maintain a site. Now you got to update it. Yeah. And that's, I hate to say it, there's a SBE site that the person who set it up died. And that was the last entry in it like 7 years ago. It's surprising to me that there's plenty of the chapters who don't have websites. I always thought, like, you know, somebody's cousin or somebody down the street could just, you know, help them do that. But it gets a little tricky when you get more involved. And I do welcome if there's SBE chapters who are interested in Sprite Media setting up a website. You know, we won't steer you wrong because we're here too. We do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we give it to people straight. But I wrote a couple of things down that I thought were really important as far as our chapter, chapter 15. And I'd like to pass it along to the other chapters listening. And also, if you have your own club, I know there's AES and there's a ton of other ones. Feel free to use some of this information. The apps. So we use MailChimp for our email blast,
which is
free. And there's plenty of YouTube videos on how to make a really nice looking one pager. Mm-hmm. And I always remind on every email I send out is the certification, because we're a little short in the certification department in New York. Social media. It's the paper newsletter is a thing of the past. People are on social media, and Kirk, I know you know this. We frequent these broadcasting groups. And some of the stuff is funny. Some of the stuff is informative. What I like best is people ask questions. Oh, I've got this transmitter. I need a part. What do I do? Yeah, has anyone seen one of these? And it's something from the 1950s. So some of the I'm gonna shout out. And I'm not being paid for any of this. This is just off the mercy from me. The Broadcasting Club is one Facebook group. Mm-hmm. AM/FM TV Engineers is another. Broadcast Engineers is another, and Broadcasting. So when we do our meetings, we're doing our first hybrid meeting tonight, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. But I send the invites for the Zooms that we are doing to those groups, plus our own group. We have our own SBE 15 page on. We have Facebook, we have LinkedIn, we have Instagram, and we have Twitter. Those are the four that I use for my own business, so I thought it would be good for SBE as well. So now that we're kind of moving out of COVID, and an important thing is to try to get people back to these real meetings. And some of my SBE 15 officers are right across the table who you can't see, but they're jumping up and down and waving right now. Conrad Troutman is vice chairman. Bud Williamson is our treasurer. The only one we're missing tonight is Andy Gladding, who is our secretary. And Andy is teaching a class right now for young minds in audio.
Andy's also trying to get some sleep tonight before his big trip.
He's going to, I think, Japan for a wedding.
He's going to Tokyo for a wedding.
Yeah, follow Andy on Facebook. He's in a different country every week. And maintaining about 15 transmitters. So let me tell you a little bit about what we got going on here. It's taken me a while to kind of develop. And Kirk, you're going to be our guinea pig because you're doing the presentation tonight. What's the title of your presentation again? It's radio and IT.
Radio and IT, getting married, kids on the way, and moving to a new house.
Yeah, I was afraid you'd scare somebody with that title.
I think I had too much coffee when I wrote that title.
Yeah, I was reading it. It's like that's the most creative title and probably the scariest that we've had this season. So what we have here, and this is a very inexpensive, this is a chicken wire and bubble gum going on. We're using a software, open source software, OBS. Mm-hmm. Downloads for free, Mac, Linux, and Windows. Take a look at that. But there's a bit of a learning curve to use it, especially in the audio part. So I told my fellow officers I was going to try to keep the budget under $200. Okay. So we have two old iPhone 6s, obsolete iPhones. I didn't realize I had to replace the batteries in both of them to get that going. I have an iPad that's using Sidecar. So Sidecar extends the screen. So I have the multi-view of the camera shots on the iPad, and then I'm going to have the Zoom call on the main computer, my MacBook, so I can keep an eye on the Zoom, plus switch the cameras here. And I have two cameras, which will do some zoomed in and wide angle shots. Also, we have a $30 capture device, and we'll see how well that works tonight so that we can put Kirk's presentation right on the screen. Yeah. So it's easy to see. We're still going to work on the audio. So next meeting, I'm hoping to have more mix minuses and virtual plugs and stuff like that. But this, we welcome anybody of any SBE chapter and any broadcast technology person, anyone who's following you right now, to join us. You know, it's free, and we like giving back to the broadcast community. That's what we do. And we also serve food, because you serve food to an engineer, they'll never leave.
No, so if people want to see tonight's meeting, if they're watching live here on
right.
the board,
you can still register for it.
Go to SBE15.com.
Right.
Okay.
And you register on the tab there on the homepage, and you'll get a little thing to connect to our meeting. So we're going to be live tonight. So don't get nervous. It's 6:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Yeah, as of last week, Eastern Daylight Time. So we encourage everybody to come along. We've had people come in from where? China, Australia, all over, and we like that. And there are people who are just dumb enough to go in the same field as we went into.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been rather encouraged in the last few places I've gone to visit to have met some younger engineers who are getting into the business, who have been around it for a while. Met somebody today just in the financial district here who's engineering for a station, an AM station here in town, and brilliant young fella, and just really loves broadcast engineering, the whole idea, but is bringing, you know, some fresh ideas in, or encouraging us in our, like, if we're streaming, a person like this is really encouraging. Yeah, you need to stream, and you need to make this available and that available, and you make sure your metadata is going, and you know they're kind of good at that.
Well, something that that we do here, mentioning I want to bring up something that Bud Williamson has suggested for one of our meetings. I think it's in November. We're going to do an engineering roundtable where the new folks and the old folks exchange problems and solutions. Mm-hmm. And that'll be interesting. It'll be like our homegrown one. But there's people, and I've been one of them, who've had nagging problems, and they just don't know what the resource is. And there's older or even younger folks who know the solutions, especially with the Ethernet cable. You go to the younger people with that. But we also, we're going to try to do an Ennis workshop in the fall. And this is where we really want to do something at Hofstra University, because they have the facility. So it's a win-win. We get to use their facility, and they have their students come there. So we get bigger and they get some knowledge. And the handoff has been great as far as getting these younger people to get employment, which is key. You know, 100 years ago when I was in college, I went to my placement office at the college, and I said I wanted to do technical broadcasting, and they were pretty much, good luck with that. Yeah, and that's where the internships paid off. But it's really hard, and it's hard to get people who are talented to know what this is, to take that first step and to get involved. And I know from being out there, it's just a real shortage of the broadcast engineers all around the country. So there are jobs available, especially if you're willing to travel.
Jeff Schick is our second guest here on This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack. We're broadcasting from the Cumulus office facility, a gorgeous building here, the south end of Manhattan, looking out the door at the window at the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, and New Jersey's right across the way. The Hudson River's out there where Sully landed his plane. Hey, we're going to be right back in just a minute after this word from VoxPro.
Hey, what's happening? St. John here, coming to you from Command Central, and wanted to tell you about the absolute best partner you can have in radio. I'm talking about, boom, Wheatstone's VoxPro. Lots of different audio software out there. Why VoxPro? It's the only software designed to do what we needed to do, which is record, edit, playback in real time. When I say lightning fast, I'm going to show you how fast you can edit stuff up in VoxPro right now. Literally three clicks on the controller, mark left, mark right, everything that gets marked, you hit delete, it goes away. It's literally that fast. So we're going to take this part right here. Boom. From caller 9 to him saying, I'm ready.
Five. Ready for that secret sound.
Boom. All of that stuff. Hit delete. It goes away. Here's your edit.
You are tackling secret sound, caller 9.
I'm ready, St. John.
One of the best features of version 7, this is awesome. It's effects macros, and you can literally put a chain of effects together so that instead of having to normalize a phone bit and then use noise reduction on it and EQ it and all that, you can literally build a chain. One button, this button, this one's called call right here. I just click that. All of those processes happen instantaneously. Final thing that I love about VoxPro, and there's so much more to get into, but one of my favorite things, you can load it on a laptop. I've literally done my show from a hotel room in Armenia to the conference room at, this was fun, jury duty. Great thing, no one could tell the difference. Vox Pro makes it totally easy. Telling you, if you're looking for the best on-air partner, call my friends at Wheatstone, ask them about Vox Pro, and you'll be glad you did.
Check out Vox Pro from Broadcasters General Store. By the way, BGS kind of is my sponsor here today. They're on site. We've been traveling around New York City. Dave Kirsten and Shane has been with us as well. And it's just been delightful to travel with them and meet broadcasters. Broadcasters General Store at bgs.cc. You can call them at 352-622-7700. You can do what you ever heard of Sam Phillips? He owned Phillips Recording Service. He discovered Elvis. Yes. Yeah, discovered Elvis.
When, I was just in Memphis a couple weeks ago.
And when I was engineering for Sam, now this was 20 years ago, and this was Sam. He would say, "Hey, Kurt, call them pretty girls over at Broadcaster General Store and tell them to sharpen up their pencils."
I don't think you should say that now. But I've been a customer for many years for Broadcaster General Store. And actually, visit us at the NAB show. What's this? Central Hall, 22 something. No, we're in Central. So Sprite Media is going to be with Broadcaster General Store, as we are every year, because I was a customer, and I still am a customer, and now I'm a vendor. So I'm holding in my hands.
Yeah, here. What is this?
This is the first time I'm seeing this. Is SBE 15 for the first time has won the Best Communication Award from National SBE. Andy had brought it personally to hand to me.
Oh, I thought you just carried this around with you.
No, I carry like transmitter parts and stuff like that. But you want to talk a tip of the week?
Yeah, sure. By the way, I'm always impressed when I see the name of the city spelled out, New York, New York, because I can't help but think the city's so nice they
named it twice. Yes.
Tip of the week.
Okay, tip of the week's coming from Sprite Media, since we were just talking about websites, and that's something we do. By the way, yeah, check us out at sprite-media.com. But the thing to look out for on your website is responsive format. What is responsive format? That's a format that your website should be in. So you can check this out. It will look different on your computer, your tablet, and your phone. On your phone especially, you'll see the little three lines, the hamburger.
Yeah.
With the menu instead of the menu on there. That's how you know it's responsive. If your website is not responsive, all you'll see is a very small version of your website where nobody can see anything on it. And 80% of people do all their business on a phone these days. So think about that for your radio station too. And most people, you know, streaming your station are going to be doing it in their car. So they can't really look too closely there. So responsive, check out, make sure yours is responsive. Very important. And also, make sure nobody charges you too much for a website. I actually had a customer saying a new website would cost $1 million. I'm like, I'll do it for $999,000. Now, websites should not cost that much money. Usually for a full-blown website, I would say probably in the realm of like $3,000 for a real functional one as far as like selling things. A normal website, multi-pages, probably about $900,000. And for a one-pager with the email addresses and the domain all set up, I would say probably about $500-$600.
It seems like websites these days, people don't want to do things that have never been done before. Whatever you want to do on your website, it's probably been done before. There's code out there available to do it. Where there's WordPress, there's templates out there available to do it. It's not a whole lot of extreme customization.
No, you can find some good templates. WordPress takes a little bit of time to get used to. When I started Sprite Media, I'm like, okay, now I need a website. And then I figured I have to do it myself. And then I watched tutorials, and my website now is quite a bit different than the first version of my website. So you learn, and is when you do one and you put it out there, there's always time to update it and make it look better. I do have customers who say my website looks creepy, like there's a mailbox with a open door that was made in 1990.
I got that GIF off of MySpace.
Yeah. There's plenty that look like from the MySpace realm, and it bothers me when I see them. I actually went through all the broadcast companies that sell items, and I critiqued them. And when I found bad ones, I sent them notes. I'm like, this is what you can do. You can do this yourself. or you can call me and I'd be happy to do it for you. Yeah. And I'm really not sure if anyone took my advice on that. I just find that most people just don't have time. They're too busy trying to sell their products, and the website tends to be an afterthought.
So broadcasters, get yourself a responsive website. And it's not that big a deal anymore. Don't get ripped off.
Don't get ripped off. Me being SBE, I'd be happy to help anybody. Just check out our website. We're also at info@sprite-media.com. If you want to shoot me an email, ask me some questions about it. Mm-hmm. I've got a soft spot for the SBE since I've been in it so long. And now running this chapter, and as I see some of our chapter members arriving because they know pizza's on the way. Yes, New York City pizza.
Jeff, thank you. We got to go. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
also, a big thanks to Andrea Cummins, SBE president, for being with us for the first half of the show. And Chris Tarr should be back with us next week to give us some pictures of, you know, what he did today, getting a translator on the air. We got so much coming up in the coming weeks. In fact, let me real quick hit my calendar and look up what's happening next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Oh, yeah, we've got Radio GPT. With Craig Bowman and Daniel Anstandig. They're going to be on the show. Daniel is just one of these brilliant guys that's just so far out ahead of everybody else. That's right. So Craig and Daniel will be on next week. Thanks again to everybody here. We're going to do an SBE meeting here in just a few minutes. Also, thanks to Suncast, our producer for This Week in Radio Tech, and Andrew Zarian, the founder of the GFQ Guys from Queens Network. Really appreciate you, Andrew. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech.